Allah wala quwwata illa billahi alladhi alazim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad abdika wa rasulika nabiyyi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and gathered us again for another Salat al-Jumu'ah. Because this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believers. Because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a jama'ah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another from doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another. This afternoon I'd like to share with you actually a story of one of the Masjid. The khutbah, inshallah, will consist of three parts, three components to bring this point together. One is the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I will share with you a few items. The second component is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us. I'll share items on that with you. The third is dua. Everyone makes dua. All believers make a supplication to Allah and ask Allah for something. Whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jew, every person who believes in God, the Almighty, ask Allah for something. So inshallah, I'd like to share with you first just a few ayats on the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illustrate a point. First ayat comes from Baqarah 164. Behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, in the sailing of ships through the ocean for the profit of mankind, in the rain which Allah sends down from the skies, and the light which He gives therewith to His servant and His deed, in all the beasts of all different kinds that He had scattered throughout the earth, in the change of the winds and the clouds, which they trail like the slaves between the sky and the earth. Indeed, in all of these things are signs for people who are wise. Another eye, one of my favorite ones is Imran 190. Behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and day, they are indeed signs for people of understanding. For those who say when they see these signs, they look at them and say, "Oh Allah, we know that You have not created all this for nothing." They know in their hearts, and they say, "We know You have not created all these things that we see just as a plaything. For men who celebrate the praises of Allah, standing, sitting, and lying down on their sides, and contemplate the wonders of the creation of the heavens and the earth, with the thought, O our Lord, we know You have not created all this for nothing. Glory belongs to You, and save us from the penalty of the fire." Lots of eyes, please, the last one, just to illustrate this point. It is He who sends down rain from the skies. With it, He produces vegetation of all kinds. From some we produce green crops out of which we produce grain, heaped up at harvest time, and our date palms and its sheets come clusters, and grapes and olives and pomegranates, each similar in kind, yet different in variety. When they begin to bear fruit, and lacking thereof, behold, and these things are signs for people who believe. Lots of it. Point is this. In everything are signs for lots of it. Everything and in everything all around us are signs of love. God bless that love. For those who see them, we don't always see those signs. And I read in a writing, I believe it was Al-Khazali, but I stand to be corrected if someone knows to be corrected, said that there are 70,000 veils over the human being. 70,000 veils covering us up. And each time we raise ourselves in knowledge and ibadah and iman, a veil is removed from us. So we see things clearly. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sign clearly. In an analogy, it's like, have you ever been in a state of mind preoccupied with things, business, family problems, or things like that, and you're driving down the street and you run a stop sign? And that stop sign, it's plain as day, it's right there. How could I did that. Almost everyone has been in that situation one time or another. Did you encounter a situation like that? Man, stop sign, or red light, or something like that. And clearly, why did I see it? The illustration is that you didn't, or we don't see it because of the state of mind that we are in at any given time. The state of mind. So in certain states of mind, of spiritual lapse, we pass by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pass by them, we don't notice. They're there, clear for some people, but shrouded for others. The signs are there, all around us, in ourselves, in our families, driving down the street. There's no encounter that a human being can encounter that is void of a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, having established that, I want to share with you two stories of which I saw clearly an event last 6 months. Here's the situation. Here's the scenario. I'm driving my wife to a seminar at New Horizons School, leaving from TV, a long drive. Now, follow this story, because the story is interesting and important in how this unfolded. This seminar was planned months ahead of time. Day comes, Monday, get in the car, driving from Palos Verdes to Pasadena. The traffic starts to lock up, and I get off the freeway, because it's locking up. Get off the off ramp, and traffic stops at the off-ramp. You know, to imagine my state, frustrated. I want to get to the place and get in there on time. So, the light is red and about 5 cars back, and I see a man at the signal, and he made a dua. I could tell he was Christian because he made a dua. I'm a former Christian, so I know how they make dua. He made a dua that I saw him make. And I knew what he was doing. Looking at these cars, hoping that someone would give them some charity. I saw him do that. So when I came up, I gave him some charity. But now, here's where the sign is. It's back up. Point is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his dua before he made his dua. Did you get that? Allah answered, not just for him, but for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our request before we make it. Let's just take this one microcosm in the universe of creatures that made Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow the story. This meeting that I'm taking her to, the seminar, planned months ahead of time. Before that man even arrived at that spot, we drive and the traffic stops. I get off the freeway, I'm detouring. Wasn't my plan to take this route. And he receives a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah just used me. I had no intention. I didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, this man over here, this particular place, I'm going to give him some sadaqah. Didn't happen like that. But in the course of how it happened, I saw clearly one microcosmic incident, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. But Allah works like this and way beyond this all of the time. So this man, before he made his dua, just think about this dua. Think about this. I'm driving and he didn't make it, now he makes the dua. Oh Allah, take one of these people in this line, give me some money. I'm okay, whatever the situation is, not my business what his situation is. But he gives him money. Allah answers his prayer. But how Allah answers our prayers, our requests, we rarely see them. Which comes to this ayah. Allah says in Quran, Allah says, He does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine. And if anyone puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. And for all things, does He appoint a duration of time? That's a heavy eye. That's deep. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the sustainer, the provider. Everything that we are a recipient of is provided by Allah. The air we breathe, the earth spinning around on its axis, floating in space, and all of the scientific things that we all accept every day, and that which is not scientific. We, as believers, acknowledge that it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High. So He said He does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine beyond the realm of our comprehension. It's happening all the time, every day, every second, every nanosecond. Every molecule of air that we breathe is a gift from Allah. Every drop of water we drink, every grain that we eat, every animal that we partake of and eat is a provision from Allah. Now, those things, ordinarily we just, okay, while we say this with all of our food. But now, let's get to the more refined areas of our life. We're in business. We're working every day. We're struggling. Some people don't even know how the rent is going to get paid. Someone called up in the masjid or in West Covina and called it up. My rent is due. I have no money. I don't have money. We all are tested. We all are tested. It's something. No human being comes without being tested. Allah says in Baqarah, I believe it's 153, be sure you shall be tested. Not maybe. Allah said, be sure, for sure you shall be tested. Who? All of us, believers and unbelievers. All of us shall be tested. With some loss of lives, some loss of the goods, our possessions, and the fruits of our struggle and toil. Things that you work for all your life will be tested with because we get those. We see it all the time and all around us. Tornado comes, sucks up somebody's house, everything is gone. Everything that they worked for all of their life is gone. Be sure you shall be tested. But give good news.
to those who patiently persevere.
Fortitude.
Just keep on. Don't lose your faith because you've lost something in the dunya.
Fortitude.
Keep on. No matter what your condition is. Because why? Allah goes back. Allah does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine. It doesn't matter if you don't see where the provision is coming from. You don't know where it's coming from. The believer simply says, "Oh Allah, I belong to you. From you I come from, to you is my return, and I'm not worthy." That you can tell your level of Iman based upon often whether you worry or you don't worry. Anytime you're worrying about something, your taqwa has disappeared. The Iman is getting low by the very nature of the fact that you're worried. Because in the high state and level of belief, you're not worried about any deed. Why? Because Allah says, He does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine. And if we put our trust in Him, He will suffice us. And for all things has He appointed a period of time. Which goes to another ayah. Allah says, surely after difficulty, there is what? Relief. Surely after the difficulty, there is relief. Telling us what? Life is simply an alternation of difficulty and ease. Nobody has a whole life that's easy. Nobody has a whole life that's difficult. Nobody. Alternation of difficulty and relief. And that powerful eye. That it is, that eye is so beautiful and such a gift from Allah to His struggling servant. Who, after you read the ayah of Baqarah that says, "Be sure you shall be tested," nobody wants the big test, the calamities, the undesirable things. Nobody wants that. We don't want that news. Nobody. Raise your hand if you're ready for a calamity to come out. No. Nobody's going to do that. We pray, "Oh Allah, keep the calamities away from me." It's a dua. We say that. But everyone, for sure, will experience death. Everyone will experience death of loved ones, sickness, loss of possessions, things you struggle for. Everybody is. But now the coping mechanism for the believer is yaqeen. The certainty deep in the heart, the knowledge that you know for sure that the life of this world is temporary. It's not the end. And all of the things that we possibly could amass in its totality is incomparable to the reward of struggling patiently and persistently in whatever lot we have in life. Struggling patiently and persistently for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, has given us. Because we are, every human being, is going to be tried and tested. As one comedian said, nobody getting out of here alive. Nobody. Nobody is getting out of life alive. We're all going to die. We know it. We know it. So for the believer, death isn't a frightening thing. Calamities are not a frightening thing. Difficulty is not a frightening thing. It's not dreadful. Why? Because the believer in that state of belief sees the bigger picture. When we see the bigger picture as the signs of Allah, which is the theme of the khutbah, when we see it, we relax. We say, "Alhamdulillah, glory to thank you, Allah, for showing me a little sign so that it will increase my certainty. Certainty also goes up and down. Iman, belief goes up and down. Difficult. No human being is, bam, 100 all the time. It doesn't exist. But the signs of Allah, when we see them, I encourage you. Praise be to Allah. I see a sign. I know it's okay. I know it's going to be all right. I know it. Deep inside of my heart, I know it. I don't care what any and everybody says all around me, the doom and gloom about the economy, man. Economy, man.
It's the economy. Oh, nothing's going on there, you know.
Everybody's whining about the economy. Forget the whining about the economy. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to you, Allah. I'm here. I'm in the struggle. Alhamdulillah bless me with the patience, persistence, and the fortitude to keep on the struggle. Stay on the track. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Stay on the track. I'm not worried. Why? Because I know Allah told me. He does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine. And if anyone puts their trust in Him, He, God, will be sufficient for them. And the prophet says that for all things is the appointed duration of time. Our life is a duration of time, a portion of time. It's a sign, duration of time. When the struggle of the dunya, of the life of this world is over, and the rewards of the hereafter are close at hand. That's why the believer doesn't dread death. Not overly sad when a loved one, particularly a loved one who's a believer, dies. They're closer to the reward at hand. Allah says, race, be like in a race to Him for forgiveness. And for a reward that is wider than the heavens and the earth combined. Waiting for who? The believers who are patient and persistent with whatever we deal with in this month. Because we all are going to deal with difficulty. Every last one of us. And every difficulty that we deal with is relative to us. For us specifically. So alhamdulillah. That situation that I shared with you about the man, the dua, making a dua, and how I saw Allah provided for him. And I realized I was just an instrument. Like, example, if you want to unscrew out of the wall, you go look for what? A tool? Take the tool, unscrew the screw out of the wall. It's an instrument. Allah uses people as instruments to fulfill His plan and to do His work. Whether you're willing or unwilling, it doesn't matter. Every creature fulfills the plan of Allah willingly or unwillingly. Willingly or unwillingly. That's a whole other khutbah when you ponder on that one. In conclusion, alhamdulillah. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, all around us. He does provide for us from sources that we never could imagine. And the dua is a special relationship between Allah and His slave. InshaAllah, I'll share that with you in the second khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us, and guide us all of them closer to His guiding light. Please move forward. There are people still coming in. In the back, move forward. So maybe we'll have people coming in. Thank you. الحمد لله رب العالمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد حبيبك ورسولك النبي وعلى آله وصحبه. There is no God but Allah, the One, with no partner. He is the King and the Ruler of the universe. All of the praise belongs to Him. And He has power over everything. Allah has power over everything. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in reference to dua. First of all, Allah says, Quran. Allah said, He listens to the call of every slave of His that calls upon Him. He listens to every call. Allah hears every call, every whisper, every thought, every inclination of the heart. Whether you say it out loud or hold it in our hearts, Allah knows you. What we think, what we feel, before we call upon Him, He knows what we want and what we need, before we know what we need and what we want. That's the God we're talking about. At least we don't fully comprehend that. The Creator of the universe, of the countless stars, galaxies, that which we see and don't see, and we'll never comprehend it as creatures. So then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in regards to dua, he said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala answers every dua in one of three ways when a slave of His asks Him. Either Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give him that which he asks for if it's related to the dunya in this life, this life of this world. Or, if Allah doesn't give it to him, He will save him from some calamity by which, if he could actually compare what he asked for and being saved from the calamity, it will be no comparison. Or the third, Allah Most High will give him something far better than he asked for in this life, in the next life. So for the believer, we have this faith, this confidence, this surety that which we ask our Lord for, we shall receive in some fashion, one way or another. That Allah Most High knows what we think, what we feel. And in conclusion, there's the most beautiful set of ayats in Quran. I believe it's in Surah Hashir 22 and 23. It says, nothing can happen on earth or in your own nafs, in your own self, except that it is already written as in a book before Allah brings it into existence. And that is easy for Allah. Ayah 23. So that you will not be in despair over the desirable things that pass you by or that you desire and don't get, nor that you will be elated over the gifts that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives you and become arrogant because you have them. For Allah does not love anyone who is arrogant and boastful. Which means that whatever we have or don't have is from Allah. We have a lot. Allah has given us a lot. Just means our chest is bigger. We have a little, but we're responsible for it. So having more is not good, and having less is not bad. It just is what it is. It just is what it is. Because no matter how much we have, in the end, it all goes to somebody else, doesn't it? We die and go in the grave, even like Pharaoh. Pharaoh's body can put some in the grave. It's still there. They put it in the tombs of the pyramid, and what? 5,000 years later, somebody came in and looted it. So it doesn't matter. Even if you could actually put physical things in the grave, they do you no good. So all of the material things that we could possibly amass in this life are only a test and a very temporary and incremental value for us. That which is with Allah is lasting. So interesting in conclusion. I've got 2 minutes left. The irony of it all is this. That which we look at and see and think is permanent, it really is. That which we cannot see and cannot prove to the unbeliever that it exists is permanent. That's amazing. The irony, the paradox of this whole human existence. That which we touch and feel is ephemeral, impermanent, not lasting, basically worthless in the end, and that which we cannot see, cannot touch, can only imagine, is everlasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us, and guide us all ever closer to His guiding light. Oh Allah, put the light in front of us and behind us, on His right, on our right, and on our left, above us and below us, in our hearts and our mind and our whole existence. Oh Allah, please brighten our faces on the day that some of the faces will be blackened with gloom and shame. Oh Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which You have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please You and administer, O Lord, by Your mercy to the rank of the righteous servants. And oh Allah, please unite us and all of our family members in the religion of Islam, and let us all die as Muslims. Truly, O Lord, that is a great victory. Amen. As-salamu alaykum.